home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Well, hello, my lovelies. Welcome back to Rated G Radio. I am your host, Garrett Miller, and for the next hour, we're going to be joined by Hollywood icon. That's what I'm calling her. Jackie Bo is going to be with us in just a couple of moments to talk about all kinds of stuff, like the Jackie Bo Variety Show, Our Lady of Hollywood and Vine, and so, so much more. What a treat Jackie will be. You are going to love this talented lady. Real quick recap of the week, so you know where we've been. I know it's only Tuesday, but you also know where we're going for the rest of the week, and you can plan your listening enjoyment accordingly, because, of course, you always want to stay in touch with everything that's hot and cool that's happening here on Rated G Radio. Monday night, yesterday, we had Aunt Barbara, and you say, who in the world is Aunt Barbara? Well, she is America's number one selling Tupperware dealer in the United States for like the last 15 years. It is insane the amount of Tupperware this lady sells, and she makes a boatload of cash doing it. I only say that because she really does sell so much Tupperware. She's featured on ABC News, not just like the local affiliate. We're talking the national channel when it goes out, and she's on two or three different times a year. Aunt Barbara came onto the show last night to talk all things having to do with Tupperware, including burping your lid, keeping things freezer fresh, and so much more. I hope you'll go back into the archives and check that out. She was a hoot, and we had a ton of people calling in and asking questions about how to keep their food fresh and all kinds of fun stuff. So that was yesterday. Tomorrow, we have a very special 90-minute show starting at 7 o'clock with Zoe Niklaus and Doug Johnson out of the Seattle area. They are our psychics of the week. Zoe, of course, is a regular monthly guest, and Doug is making his first appearance with Zoe. They kind of work together up in one of the shops up there. Doug is a psychic astrologist, and I have no idea what that is, but I'm fascinated. So tomorrow, if you want to call in, I'm telling you early, so you have the Rated G Radio regular listener super-duper secret password. Call in 15 minutes before the show starts at 6:45 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's when the phone lines open, and if you want to ask a question, I'm telling you, you're going to have to call in early so I can get you in the call queue so we get your call answered, because that 90 minutes flies by fast. The calls fill up the switchboard. We can take up to 50 calls at a time, but the phone lines fill up, and we don't get to even a tenth of the people that call in regularly. And with tomorrow night's show, not only are you going to get your question answered by Zoe, you're going to be having your question answered by Doug as well. So you're getting kind of like a psychic twofer, two different opinions on one show with your question. So that's tomorrow night. Thursday, of course, we have our return of Rated LGBT Radio with my co-host Rob Watson. This is a new regular Thursday weekly segment where we talk all things LGBT. And if you fit in the category or a supporter or want to be a guest on that particular type of episode, meaning, you know, it's just really LGBT focused, send me a note on Facebook or an email at garrett@garrettmiller.com. I'd love to have you be a featured guest in the coming weeks. We've got, you know, through February and March, we've got a ton of people lined up to come on and talk with Rob and myself. And if you haven't heard Rob before, Rob actually hosts his own LGBT show on Saturday night called Out in Santa Cruz on KSCO 1080 AM in Santa Cruz, California. But you can also just go to outinsantacruz.com and listen to the show live. He is, you know, he will beg to differ with me, but I'm telling you how it is. He brings the serious and the credibility to the program, where I tend to be a little bit on the fluff and puff. So Rob's going to have all kinds of really cool things that we're going to talk about this week, including his letter to fill in the blank, and it's usually whoever's been the most egregious on social causes having to do with LGBT. He writes a very informed letter about what their position does to the LGBT community and his family. He's a gay dad. He's got two kids. And then on Friday, we have a very, very special show. And again, I always say it's a very special show because they all are in their own way. But how many times do you hear me say, we're going to have a member of the Supremes singing group on the show? You know, the Supremes from the 60s and 70s. We're going to have Miss Sherry Payne. She's got a new play that's opening later in January called The Lady in Waiting that's going to be debuting here in Los Angeles. And we're going to talk about the music video that we filmed a couple of weeks ago. I got to be background on that, which was so much fun. She's got a new single that's coming out. She's got other projects she's going to be working on, and that all is going to be on Friday. Now, again, you know how the Friday Night Dance Party works. We do the first hour featuring the guest and their music, so it's the first 20, 25 minutes. That's our chit-chat time. Then we cut to music for the balance of the hour, and then we take your request in hour number two, and I've already got a bunch of those lined up for a bunch of you folks, including Tony in Hackensack. We've got Paul in upstate New York and lots of others who have already sent in requests for the week. So if you want to get something in, make sure you send it to me early so we can play that for you when the show starts. Now, without further ado, and if I had a drum roll queued up, I would do a drum roll and say, my very special guest, Jackie Bo, is here on the show. But Jackie, welcome to Rated G Radio. How are you tonight?
I'm good. I'm doing my drum roll.
Yay! I am so thrilled to have you here.
I am thrilled to be your guest. This is great.
It's so much fun.
I'm an icon, but...
I'm calling you an icon.
I know. Like the patron saint of what? Like overachievers, overextended.
That could be a new web series. I don't know. That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, I've got a lot of projects, so I'll put that back in the queue.
I think that's a good idea.
A great lineup this week. I am very honored to be a part of...
Well, I mean, you know, you're my Hollywood star of the week, so, you know, I always think that's really cool. Last night we had the Tupperware star of the week. I mean, is that just crazy that there's somebody that sells enough to, I mean, obviously somebody has to be number one, but you sell so much Tupperware? Goodness.
I'm sorry that I missed, I'm very interested, I'm very intrigued in that.
Well, it'll keep us both a little bit fresher longer out here in L.A., I think.
Yeah, well, I have to tell you, this. I don't have a... You know, like I used to, when I first started acting and doing that, I had like these little odd jobs and, you know, I waitress and I did all that. But now I am a full-time entertainer and that is all I do.
So, is that not just one of the most exciting things to be able to tell people that I now,
you know,
am able to support myself full-time doing that?
Yeah, and it's good to remind myself. But you know what? There's always something, you know, it might be good to have Tupperware to fall back on, you know.
Well, I'll tell you, if you want to get connected, you know, she'll put you in touch with like a local dealer, anybody who's listening. So she, you know, Aunt Barbara's the first person to say, you know, if you want to, you know, work with me, that's great. But honestly, it's better to get that one-on-one interaction with, you know, your local market. So anybody who listens to the show from last night and you want to get involved with Tupperware, let me know and Aunt Barbara will refer you to somebody wherever you're at around the United States, actually around the world, because they're in countries all over the world. So did you know that, like, I think it was like Germany is like the number one consumer of Tupperware?
Wow.
Insane.
No idea.
I know. You'd never think, you know, but it's, you know, it's a $2.6 billion company. Anyway, enough about Tupperware because
California and LA, we're like the to-go people. So it's like,
yeah,
like
we got it. You got to get it to go, and, you know, it has to be, but, you know, one of the interesting things was, and then we're going to just talk about you for the next hour here, Jackie, but, you know, the point that was made last night is a lot of those containers that you get from to-go places are really not meant to go into the microwave, and so you have all of these potential, you know, things that, you know, aren't your food that are getting into your food because of how it's, you know, heated and treated and all of that yucky kind of stuff, and I had some eye-opening moments last night for sure.
Cool.
But with that, yeah. So for listeners who are hearing your name for the very first time, tell us, who is Jackie?
Well, I'm going to call in tomorrow night to your psychic, and they can tell me. No, you know, I started out, I'll just tell you whence I came. Well, that
okay.
Kind of,
yeah.
I grew up in Salinas, and I went to a Catholic school, and... Just to let you know, when I went to my reunion, my second reunion, I told them that I was doing comedy, and they said, oh, my God, but you were never funny in high school. So comedy is something that I have, I don't know if it was a coping mechanism, but it, you know, and just this, of coming to L.A. and changing, but I actually went to UCLA to become a doctor.
Really?
I auditioned for cheerleading, and a girl said, you know what, you should go take some dance classes at Dupre Dance Academy. And I said, okay. And I went and I took some classes, and I was hooked. I was like, okay, this is fine. I went in, the very first class I ever took was Jazz 4. You know, everybody's turning and leaping, and I'm like following everybody. And I just learned how to dance really quickly and then got into the musical theater department. I mean, the theater department at UCLA, got involved with the musical comedy program. And that's where it started. And then the acting came after that. So
okay,
sort of my evolution of a triple threat.
I love the evolution of a triple threat, Jackie, but I have to ask you, I'm sure your parents were thrilled that you were going to go to UCLA to become a doctor. And so my follow-up is, what happened with the family once you said, you know what, I think I have a different plan?
Well, you know, my grandfather never really accepted the fact that I didn't go to Stanford.
Oh.
That I had to choose between Stanford and UCLA, and if I went to Stanford, I probably would be a doctor, and I probably would not have a sense of humor.
And the world would be very poor for it.
You know, and I think comedy is so important. I have to reiterate that. I'm going to be saying it's such a gift, and it just is a really wonderful thing. So I'm glad, you know, I'm glad I'm getting ahead of myself, but, you know, I think that's yeah, I'm sure it would have been a very different parallel universe.
So do you recall what your first, like, major show was in college?
Yeah, I did. The very first major show I did was a musical theater performance. It was like a Hooray for Hollywood thing with John Hall.
Okay. And what was your part?
I did Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. Was a tap dance number, and that was the first show that I did at UCLA. Besides, well, you had to audition to get into the department, and so we would do these things called noon miracles. And so I just did, like, you know, every day for lunch, I went and I did some avant-garde little piece until I got into the department.
I love it. So do you have, I know your friend said to come and, you know, take some dance classes, but did you have anybody in the, either the program or outside of the program, maybe, let's say, you know, one of the movie stars or something that you had as a mentor during that period of time?
Well, I had role models. I remember that we had a special guest appearance, a guest teacher, and I actually got to take a dance class from Donna McKegney, who was the original Cassie from A Chorus Line.
Get out of town.
It was just absolutely thrilling and wonderful. And, it was almost like a method dance class because, you know, she's such an emotional dancer. And so we got to bring that to our work. You know, because everybody, you know, when you start dancing, it's all about technique. But she brings her heart and soul into it. And it was so good to have that as a young dancer.
And so where did that take you after you graduated?
Well, you know, I had to put my graduation on hold from UCLA because I got hired to be a dancer, singer, actor at Disneyland.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I went directly from there, and that was my first professional, you know, gig.
Uh-huh.
It was really hard. There's some things, if anybody wants to go to YouTube and Google Kids of the Kingdom, and it's not my cast, but it's other casts that did it, and it's a really tough show. And we used to do, like, four of them, and there was, you know, it was like double pirouettes and layouts and crazy, you know, you change your costume, like, in a second and then run back out there. Hopefully, I was always the one missing something, but it was just a crazy whirlwind show. And that was my first gig, and then I started doing more musical theater, went on the road with A Chorus Line, and then started doing stand-up comedy after that.
Okay,
it's
so
sort of
this fascinates me, Jackie, because I had no idea. Here's what I know about you. I know that you do everything, but when you actually hear people tell their story about all of the everything that they do, it's like, I didn't really grasp that it was like everything. So
right,
when,
and sometimes people only you know, see what you do on Facebook. So I know I have people that love some of my postings and my show pictures, but I also do the retirement circuit And so that show was very different from my other show where I do wacky characters. So it's so funny because sometimes they go, oh, yeah, you're doing the doing my nun character, but I actually don't do that at the senior homes.
Right, right. Well, one of the things that we're going to talk about tonight, everybody, because and I kind of have this paced out just because all I want to do is talk to Jackie for like 17 hours, so I've got to kind of limit how many questions that we're going to ask her tonight because we'll have to have her back again because we're going to talk about her Jackie Beau variety show and then her TV show called Our Lady of Hollywood and Vine, and I want to make sure that we get to that. But we've also got two songs that Jackie has shared with us tonight. One is called I'm Mediocre and That's Okay. And then another one, I just put it into the studios, Dominique, because I was trying to get it in here really quick tonight before the show started. But it was really, really acute. I call it a little ditty. Is that an appropriate thing to say, or is that offensive if I call it that?
No, you could call it a ditty.
I thought it was so cute.
That's a compliment.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I mean it as a compliment, so, you know, there we go. But so you were in the chorus line. How did things that happened on a chorus line kind of necessitate your role into being a stand-up comic at that point?
I think so, because being on the road, you know, there's just so many crazy things that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So and what then, would be something that was, like, really wild that happened on a chorus line that people would just be like, I can't believe that?
Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. I'm trying to think. You know, it was just the crazy lifestyle of getting up. You'd go do a show, and then they would strike it, put in a truck, and you'd be in Montana, and the next day you'd be in Seattle. And
oh my gosh,
it was just this, you know, and you'd be sleeping on the bus, and it was just crazy. And I was actually I understudied everything, and I went
wow.
And at first it was really hard because to be in that show, which is so wonderful, to like just come out in the beginning and the end. But eventually one of the girls on the tour, she was very young, and she just kind of got tired and she said, you know, I'd like to take a little break. So it wasn't like somebody got hurt and I had to step
right in.
So that was really great. I felt good about that. And then I ended up doing Christine. So, yeah, then, my girlfriend always said, you know, you should really do stand up because you just have such funny experiences, and that has been definitely reinforced by my boot camp senior circuit is what I call it, because I every day I'm doing a show and I'm, you know, having to improv, and you know, I get people that come up afterward and go, oh, you can sing, you can dance, you can act. Did you used to be in show business? wonderful things like that. You know, your rendition of New York, New York was just fabulous. The best I've ever. Some of these singers, they come in here and they pretend that they can sing, but you made no bones about it. I said, well, I can sing. And she goes, I guess just not today. So the thing is, I can't even write that. That's just like so priceless, you know?
Oh, my gosh. So, well, how long did you go on the stand-up circuit? I guess, you know, since I really haven't had a chance to, like, have a one-on-one with you before to kind of get a whole history here, how long were you in the stand-up? And then, you know, if we kind of fast-forward a little bit, when did you put together your variety show that you're taking onto the senior circuit?
Yeah, well, you know, I did stand-up for about 10 years, and I did, like, a crazy, like, another whirlwind tour where you'd be in Salt Lake City, and then you had a drive to you know, back to Nevada, and then I ended up in Vegas. Oh, here's a funny story. I was doing a show, and when you do open mics when you're first starting, and sometimes like when you get lesser time at a club, they do what they call giving you the light, so that you'll get off the stage. You'll know when your time is up.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when you get to a higher level, it's not really like that. And so I went on stage, and I'm doing my show, and the light starts blinking, and so I think, oh, okay, well, that's my time. I'm like, okay, thank you. And then I got off stage, and the manager was like, well, why did you just get off stage? I said, well, you were giving me the lights. He said, no, we're having an electrical problem. And I thought, yeah, I thought it was weird because they were laughing a lot, but I thought, okay, that's, you're,
okay.
You know, I better get off.
Oh, my
like
gosh.
You get so conditioned as a to see the light, and if they tell you to get off, you got to get off, you know?
Yeah, you don't want to get yelled at. You're just trying to, you know, do your set and get on with life. Wow.
Or to get the hook. So then
oh
I started
gosh.
Doing my Jackie Bo variety show in 2001. That's when that was born, and up in the Silicon Valley.
Did you put this together knowing that this is going to be something that you're still doing 15 years later?
You know, no. I actually started off because I was playing ukulele. I got inspired. I guess here's a mentor for me, Maddie. I was going around doing some door-to-door campaigning. It was, again, one of those survival jobs. And
mm-hmm.
I saw that she had a ukulele. I said, oh, I just picked up a ukulele. I'm putting in my show. I don't really play yet. And she goes, well, come down to the senior center because we're, you know, we have these every Wednesday we play for like 3 hours. So I went and I learned like all these songs from the 30s and the 40s. And they said, we're going to go do a show over at this home. Why don't you come with us? You know, and they're all 80, 90, 100. I'm like, okay. So I go and I play with them. And then I thought, you know what? I could do this. I could go around to homes like they do, except charge. And, you know, so that was kind of where that business started.
I think that is so interesting. So, because I think that's something that, you know, people in, I think, you know, middle America out there, they only think that there's NBC, CBS, and, you know, ABC and maybe Fox, and then there's major motion pictures, but they don't really think that there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of different avenues to be involved in the entertainment industry, and
oh,
all of them are wonderful in their own ways. And so to kind of become a niche market is you know, what you're doing, I think is just absolutely brilliant. I think that's one of the reasons I'm just so impressed with what you do, Jackie, is because not only do you do your TV show, but you have this variety show that you really do take all over Southern California. And I see the pictures you post on Facebook, you know, with the residents or the guests that are coming to see you, and mm-hmm. you just light up the room. And I think that's such a gift that you're giving to these people. And I'm just kind of a little speechless
on
that.
Well, it's really fun, and it keeps me on my toes, let me tell you, because anything can happen. You know, and I also do, you know, women's clubs. You know, I'm doing the women's yacht club next month and all kinds of, you know, veterans groups. You name it.
And can you tell us maybe some of the characters that you have that are in your variety show that you take out to these places?
Well, in my variety show, I just do me. And I sing Broadway
okay.
show tunes. Yeah.
Okay.
So that my other show where I do characters, that's more, it's a little hipper. Not that these people aren't hip at all, but, you know, it's a little more like Branson.
Sure.
You know, up with people kind of thing. And so when I do my characters, that's a whole, you know, I called it, it went through so many different names. The last name is Jackie Bo's Not Quite Herselfie. That was the last one.
So who are some of your characters that you have that people really resonate with?
Well, they like all of them. Dixie Lee is very popular. She's from Weed Patch, and she wants to go to Nashville and make it as a country singer. And she's got some relationships gone bad, and so she writes songs just like you know, those other country singers that make a lot of money doing that. That's her dream. She's very popular. And, of course, Sister Mary Malarkey, she's very popular as well. A nun from Dingle, Ireland. And I have a life coach named Coach Stella Steller who tells people, you know, you don't have to be successful. You just have to believe that you are successful. The more that you believe in the belief of your belief, the more you become a believer. Isn't that terrific? Isn't that wonderfully wonderful? I'm a lifeboat coach because, well, you know, I'm here to rescue you. You are drowning in the negative, shark-infested waters of your delusional psyches. So she's
oh,
kind of
my gosh.
Like if Judge Judy were a life coach.
Just crazy.
So that's...
And where did these characters come from? Are they from people that you know or, you know, grew up with? Or what are their origins?
They're all a little bit differently. They've come from a different place. Sister Mary Malarkey started out as Sister Demetrius Denial in my first show, which was called Emotional Garage Sale, that I did up in the Northern California, up in San Jose and San Francisco and Santa Cruz. And that was based on the nuns that I went to school with, I guess they taught me, right? And they were not mean. They were just really eccentric. And so Sister Mary Malarkey is somebody that just came into contact with, you know, the Da Vinci Code and realizes that maybe some of this, you know, Catholic mystericalness isn't really quite what it seems. So she's questioning this work. Of course, we take that a step further in the TV series, because she definitely is being, you know, pursued by her antagonist, the Cardinal, who sees Sister Mary as everything that's wrong with the church, you know.
Well, let's do this.
We're
25 after. We've got a great show that you are great. We've got a great shoe. We've got a great song that you sent over that Dixie sings called "I'm Mediocre and That's Okay." Do you want to set that song up? And I thought we'd play that. Go to our commercial break. I'd come back in. We'll play the Dominique song, and then have you talk a little bit about the Our Lady of Hollywood and Vine, because you're doing some really fun things with that this year. And I thought everybody needs to know about that too.
Cool. Okay, so I'll set up Dixie Lee. This is a song that she wrote after she had a little session with a life coach, and that came out of my show. And then I collaborated with two wonderful musicians, Tony Koch and Pella Slider, and we recorded it with full instruments, and we just actually entered a few song contests. We'll be hearing about that in February or March.
Cool. So, everybody, this is called "I'm Mediocre and That's Okay." This is not the Friday night dance party because it's Tuesday, but this is a fun song, and I'm allowing you to get out of your chairs or sofas or whatever and move around a little bit, because you'll want to do that. We'll be back after the commercial break with more from Jackie Bo.
I don't need to do more and get more and be more. I need to lower my standards. I'm mediocre and that's okay. I'd stand out if I moved to L.A. Average dream, but that's all right. I'm not a supermodel with big headlines. Beep, beep. Beep, beep. I'm just as bling and as bling can be. I'm tweeting, but no one's following me. Don't have to hide from paparazzi. Aliens don't want to abduct me. I'm so insignificant. I got lots of friends. Don't intimidate nobody by being perfect. Got no type A. And that's
all right.
Don't have to fix my overbite.
Right.
No great fix, but that's all right by me.
All right.
Don't have to get the JJ reconstructive surgery.
All right.
Don't have to learn French and save on cure. Got no aspiration, ain't no entrepreneur. Don't see myself in 5 years, not as clairvoyant. No shopping on rodeo drive, saving my unemployment.
No.
Hanging with the rich and famous.
No.
Vacations to exotic places. But I only have to know what one fork is for.
Don't.
Have to fit into one size jeans. Know what carpe diem means. I eat pork and beans. I ain't no connoisseur.
Yeehaw.
I'll never be an alpha dog. Nap all day, don't have to jog. Fear the milling and that's just great. Oh, it's all good when you're sick and free.
Don't
have to climb the corporate ladder. Master plan so I don't get fatter. No best of show coming through my doggy door.
Don't
understand nuclear fission.
Don't
have no big life vision. I don't even know why I'm singing this darn song for. Take it away, you betcha.
Mm-hmm.
friends. So intimidate nobody by being a perfect 10. Got no type A anxiety. If I was a bottle of wine, I'd be a garden variety.
Yeah.
I'm mediocre and that's okay. I'd stand out if I moved to L.A. Average Jane, but that's all right. I'm not a supermodel with big headlines. Beep, beep. And that's okay.
Okay.
Got a flip phone that I prepay.
Prepay.
Oh, shh. Dadgummit. That's all I got. Dude, I die. But I'm mediocre. And that's okay. You know what? Maybe I won't live up to everybody else's expectations, but I will live up to mine. Because I don't have none.
Welcome to our discussion of It Matters Radio. Our guest today is Angus McWilliams.
Hey, laddie, let's get on with this thing. I'm on my way to a birthday party for Nessie.
You're throwing a birthday party for the Loch Ness Monster?
First of all, it's not a monster. And second of all, I'm talking about niece Nessie. She's a wee bit of a lovely lass.
I see. Well, okay. Angus, can you give us your thoughts on It Matters Radio?
Aye, wonderful people. They had me on a while back to talk about my book.
Your what?
My book. I wrote a book about the adventures in Scotland.
Oh, I see. A book.
That's what I just said. What are you, a duff man?
It Matters Radio focuses on discovering new talent and bringing important indie artists on the air. Monica, Kenneth, and Carrie offer up meaningful conversation on new music, books, and fun topics. It's unlike any other radio program known to man and woman alike.
You can say that again.
Known to man and woman alike.
Just because I said you can say it again doesn't mean you have to say it again.
I'm just doing my best to show everyone that It Matters Radio basically brings variety, fun, and entertainment with a sincere desire to discover new topics and talent.
Why didn't you just say that?
I just did.
Hey, laddie, remind me when I can listen.
It Matters Radio is on every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific.
You Americans with your different time zones. We only have one time zone in Scotland.
And that would be...
That would be the time to down a pint or two of ale.
It Matters Radio, for the best in conversation, music, books, and entertainment. Join us Thursday evenings at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. Discover the depth, diversity, meaningfulness, caring, guest-focused, friendly, enjoyable atmosphere of It Matters Radio with Ken, Monica, and Carrie.
That's a mouthful if I ever heard one.
Yes, and I'm going to go brush my teeth now. It Matters Radio.
When it comes to coffee, freshness is queen. That's why Rainbow Brew believes you should have the freshest coffee, roasted to order in small batches and delivered to your door within a couple days. Whether you're purchasing for a coffee shop, restaurant, or home, Rainbow Brew is your one-stop shop for fair trade and organic coffee. Offering many unique blends, including AM 950's own Blue State blend. That's Rainbow Brew, the Queen Bean, a proud sponsor of the Morning Grind. Online at rainbowbrew.com. Brew something good today.
I'm a little bit concerned with the Pope lately. He's been, you know, he embraced the gay community, which I think is good. But he said, as far as women becoming priests, no, no, not ever. But you know what they say, when God closes the door, she opens a window. And I told them I wanted to be a priest, and they said, absolutely not. Not now, not ever. And I said, I don't understand. I have everything that a man has to become a good priest. I have a fine mind that would write a very good sermon. I have two arms that would outstretch to my community, my congregation. I'm missing a spiritual antenna. So just to be on the safe side tomorrow, I've got to be good and get up and go sing at Mass. So I'd like to sing a little song for you that I will be singing tomorrow. Dominique, Nique, Nique, Saint Orle, tout simplement, Routier, Pabre, Chanton, En tout chemin, tout l'air, Il nous parle des bandous, Il nous parle des bandous. All right, let's all sing together now. The people eating, be careful, we don't want you choking. I know, references for the Bible, but not CPR. Dominique, what are you waiting for, eternity? It's French, make it up. All right, I'll just do a little improv here. A little French. Dominatrix, natrix, natrix. Bon appétit, déjà vu. Ratatouille, Pepe Le Pew. Voulez-vous coucher avec moi ce soir? RSVP, s'il vous plaît, to my excommunique. Bring your own escargot and chardonnay.
And that, my friends, is Jackie Boshi. She is our VIP special guest star tonight. I love that. Before I have Jackie tell us more about Our Lady of Hollywood and Vine, a TV series that she's working on, I want to give some shout-outs today. Mr. Jack Calvert, he's in the Blog Talk chat room chatting away with me during the music. Also, big warm welcomes to Mr. Robert Babish. I know that he's listening on demand tomorrow morning. We've also got Richard up in Northern California. We've got Becky out of Phoenix. We've got Jeff. Well, Jeff's out of Phoenix. He's my next-door neighbor. He's actually in Phoenix listening tonight as well. I've got Gail in Placentia, Wesley in Arkansas. Cheryl is in Manhattan Beach. Angela is in Costa Mesa. We got a lot of California people listening tonight. That's really cool. And for everybody else who's listening in, make sure to follow the show. There's a little follow button right there on the show page, and you'll get an email or text update every single day letting you know when the show is live and in Technicolor. Because each show, because our guests are so unique, has its own unique show link. With that, Jackie's, our VIP special guest star. We just heard two of her songs back-to-back. So super fun. Jackie, you've got this great TV show that you are working on right now called Our Lady of Hollywood and Vine. Tell us all about that.
Well, it started when I did my one-person show, and Jack Calvert, who's been chatting away with you, suggested that, he said, you know, you really should do a show about her. And so I started writing, and then he started writing with me. And before he started writing with me, I released a few, like three YouTube videos that got a great response. A nun walks into a bar, backseat confession. And then we just started writing it, you know, as a situation comedy, a 30-minute show. And we developed all the characters, and I have enough episodes and enough material to probably fill 7 seasons or one good binge on Netflix.
I'm a big binge Netflixer, so I will tell you that if you do put this on Netflix, and I would highly recommend all of the Netflix executives or Hulu executives listening tonight, you need to write Jackie a big fat 7 or 8-figure check with, you know, that doesn't count the .00 at the end, and get her signed up here. But what are some examples of some of the situations and the just hilarity that ensues on the show? Because I've seen a couple of the episodes that you've either leaked to me or shared with me, and I just thought they were absolutely hysterical. It was not something I didn't know what to expect, but it wasn't what I expected, and I thought it was great.
Oh, well, that's good. Surprise is good. That's important. Yes, well, I'll tell you how she came over to America is that she comes over to be on like an American Idol Star Search America's Got Talent show. And by a series of events, she ends up in having a go at it with a Simon Cowell type, and ends up, her video goes viral because she gets into a fight with him and tries to hit him over the head with a ukulele. Or hits him over the head with a ukulele. Anyway, you know, it's that Irish fiery temper. And he just pushes her buttons. And so anyway, she ends up stuck in Hollywood. She used to perform at a little local pub for a couple guys and a goat. And so she has this love for Hollywood and stardom, but she also has she's definitely what some of the conservative bishops would call a radical feminist nun, and needs to be watched and reminded that she took the vows of celibacy, poverty, and obedience. in one of the episodes that's going to be close to the beginning, if not the first, is that Sister accidentally books a gay wedding.
Uh-oh.
And when the couple shows up, when she meets them, she, A, sees how in love they are, and B, when he writes her a check, that sort of cinches the deal that she has to make this thing go through. So that's how the wackiness ensues, and all of the links that she'll go to in order to get them married happily.
Isn't that
and on their way.
And we're going to have the opportunity to work together a little bit, I think, as well, which
yes.
I'm very excited about.
We should probably tell everyone how you got involved in this whole thing.
That would be great. Tell the story,
you
Jackie,
probably
because
don't even know.
I don't even really. I mean, I kind of know, but I know that Robert Babish had something to do with it, and I just said, okay, I'm going to bow down at your feet, Robert. Thank you very much for introducing me to this hysterical, very pretty lady,
mm-hmm.
and you know, the rest is is just kind of evolving. So, how did this all come about?
He had a big deal to do it. Now, Robert Babish is the one. Him and I have done a lot of YouTube videos together. We did all of the Our Lady videos. We also, from all of our characters that we developed, also the Lifeboat Coaches. We have another YouTube channel called Lifeboat Coaches. And I told him that we were looking for a blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus type. And he sent us the link to your album and your gay wedding single, and we went, oh my
gosh,
this is great. We can do maybe he'll be interested in doing a music video with us, and that would be a wonderful way to wrap up the show. And so there you were. And so we wrote a part called Zach, who is this mega star who is getting married at the Catholic Church.
And there we
so
go.
You'll have to tune in to find out if it actually happens.
I'm for one, I'm giddy with goosebumps just waiting to find out what's going to happen to Zach. So this will be fun. So I'm very excited to work on this with you.
Maybe the Pope will show up.
That would be really kind of cool.
Mercy. It would be to get him to do a cameo. Can you imagine?
Oh, my gosh. That would be awesome.
We have letters to the Vatican. He hasn't responded yet, but he's really busy.
You know, he's got a couple of things on his plate, you know, and I kind of get that as a pope goes. But so, Jackie, one of the things that I think is interesting about you, and I admire this because you do have a lot of different places for people to go and find you on social media. On the show page tonight, if you're listening live or on demand, as we always say, there's a bunch of different places you can check out. I'm going to have Jackie talk about it, but just if you're just listening, I want you to go to the show page because a lot of people will call in just on their phone. So I want them to know what they're missing if they don't have it in front of them. There's a link for Jackie's website, Jackie's Facebook page, her personal page. You can actually be friends with her. She's a wonderful friend to have. She's got a fan page for Our Lady of Hollywood and also a fan page for Dixie Lee, that character you just heard singing the I'm Mediocre song, and that's okay. So go and check out all those. Like them, friend request, do all of that. But Jackie, tell us about, I know you've talked a little bit about your YouTube channel, but tell us how people can find it, how you like to stay communicating with your fans and supporters, and what's going to be coming up next, potential any, global crowdfunding type of activities.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I have a bunch of YouTube channels, Our Lady of Hollywood and Vine on YouTube, and we just released a video in time for New Year's. And it's something that, Catholics and everyone need with their busy schedules, because a lot of people don't have time, if they possessed by a demon. So it's called the Exorcism app. So that's very helpful. And we just released that, so that's really fun. And then I also have a personal page. It's called Jackie Bow. And that has a lot of different – has my flappers show. It's got A Nun Walks Into a Bar. It's got – a bunch of really fun stuff. And then also I have Lifeboat Coaches. And I love it when people actually, make a comment. That's always great because it's always wonderful. Or share your stories about, about your Catholic upbringing, or tells you tells that people have, you know, told you. So that's good. But, yeah, please, you know, Facebook is good. You can, I also have the Jackie Bo Variety Show page on Facebook. And we do have a crowdfunding that's going to be on Indiegogo. And I don't want to say a date yet because it's still up in the air, but sometime in March.
So for everybody who's out there that's listening tonight, Jackie, I know because, you know, we see crowdfunding requests all the time. And sometimes
oh, yeah.
I think that, you know, we when we first saw them, I think everybody wanted to jump on board because they all thought, oh, my $100, you know, who gets a $100 donation anymore? But my $100 is really going to make a difference and I've got to do it. But then when everybody started coming out with it, you know, sometimes – you know, you take a look at volumes and you say, well, if everybody donated a dollar or everybody donated $5 or $10, boy, we'd make our goal. What does a crowdfunding campaign mean to you and what kind of impact does that actually have on both the project that you're doing and the quality of the project?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, you know, it's going to be a really fun campaign and the little perks that we're going to have are going to be really fun. I mean, there's even going to be, you know, if you want to come and be in one of the videos. So that, you know, a walk-on fun part. We're going to have some fun parties. And as far as quality goes, it does make a difference because we're going to, you know, ask enough to shoot it really well. And that brings me to some the YouTube videos that we did before. Of course, they're our first time out, so the material is really good, but we only had so much control over the production value. And we have now brought on board C.G. Reich, who is a wonderful cinematographer. His stuff is brilliant, and it looks great. So we're going to be funny and look really good. So that's
You know, one of the things I think, you know, that is so important out there. You know, for everybody out there who's used to looking at TV off of, you know, Netflix or Hulu, which is great. That's actually how I watch it because I don't have TV any longer. That's a whole different story for a different day. But you go to, you know, the network shows, ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, and you take a look at Two Broke Girls or any of the situation comedies out there. They all look great. You know why they look great? Because they got a $1 trillion budget behind them, and so they can spend all this money to make things look great.
Exactly.
You know what doesn't often look great are indie projects, and it's not because the material is bad. The material is usually pretty good. It's not because of the acting. Acting's pretty good. It's not because of the scenery. The scenery's pretty good. It's because of, you know, the money and investment that it takes to make the thing look good from a cinematography standpoint. So you can have all these great things lined up in a row, but if your product looks, you know, kind of like you filmed it with a Betamax VCR, you know, tilt-a-whirl, spin-a-rooney type of a camera that your uncle would use back in 1967, it just looks like that. You know, so, you know, getting money to actually make your product look good is tough.
Yeah, and the bar definitely has been raised. And, of course, it's very important, the sound quality is, you know, you really want people to be able to catch every joke. Because that's the thing about comedy. It really takes so much time and effort, and I don't know if anybody watched the Golden Globes, but comedy really, you know,
all timing.
I cannot commend, you know, people that spend their time writing those scripts and when you see a TV show, it's like 15 writers because it takes that many. For every 40 or 50 jokes you write, one is good. So it's just a really time-consuming thing. So like you said, it's very important to film this wonderful thing that you've worked so hard on and then actually make it look good and be a quality product and be taken seriously by the rest of, you know.
Right, because, again, you can have everything else look fantastic, Jackie, but if your product looks, you know, schlocky, in today's environment, schlocky doesn't cut it. You have to have something that looks like rock star, even when you don't have a rock star budget. And so being able to do a crowdfunding campaign along the way really helps the production value 1,000 times over. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you have the opportunity to present it to a Hulu or a Netflix or a Yahoo or an NBC or ABC, CBS, Fox, whatever the case may be, you know, you've got something that looks like something people would want to take a look at. But if you go in there and say, you know, we're going to post something that looks like it was from my, you know, uncle's old camera. It's a tough sell, and you could have the best thing on the planet,
right,
but nobody's really going to want to watch that because there's a thousand other things that are crappy, but they look pretty, you know. And here
yeah,
you are with
yeah,
a stunning script.
Consciously, they may not even know that that's why they didn't like it, but it just, you know. Absolutely,
right.
You're getting me so excited that we're going to have something that looks really nice.
It's going to be awesome.
And funny,
why?
That's an important thing. The last.
No, go ahead.
Too. I'm sorry. I got so excited.
I know. I'm excited with you, Jackie. So this is just crazy. Well, as we're getting ready to wind down the show, and I always say we're winding that. People say, well, we got 10 minutes left. I know. Here's my shameless plug of the night. For the next, I don't know, 3 months, every night about this time, we're going to wrap up the show, and we're going to play my song Sweat and Testify, because I want you to go out and buy my album, Blonde Jesus, off of my website. You get a better deal than if you went to iTunes or Amazon or any of those other things. And I actually see the money at that point, too. See, Jackie's an independent, you know, filmmaker and movie maker and TV maker. I'm trying to do the same thing with, you know, with music. But with, you know, like 5 minutes left here, Jackie, what would you like people to know either about you or your projects? And then that's question number one. And then question number two is, what advice would you have for other people who are out there who just are dying to do something fun and creative like you're doing with your career?
Okay. So what was the first question again? I was already on to the second one.
Well, let's go to the second one first. Let's do that.
Okay, I would just be very careful and surround yourself with really wacky, crazy, non-realistic people that think big. Because if you start talking to people that, and I mean, you're going to get like, well, oh, yeah, that's not going to happen. You know, bubble bursters, we call them bubble bursters. And just know where that comes from. A lot of people wish they were doing it too. And so, you know, jealousy and all that kind of thing. So it's just important to just try to let that wash off, you know, and just keep focused and going towards your dream. But not so focused that you don't sometimes your project will take a little direction and a different turn. Also be flexible with that and listen to, you know, where the muse takes you.
Okay, then I'm going to follow up. I'm going to forget the first question I asked you and follow up to that. You know, how have you had to kind of change course or just kind of be patient with projects that you've been working on that, you know, you're really super passionate about and boy, you just are, you know, so gung-ho on. But, you know, sometimes, you know, things happen and you have to say, well, that's not happening the way I thought. You know, how have you reacted to situations like that?
Well, you know, let me go back a little bit because when I came – things are really changing in Hollywood, and when I first started out, it was very, you auditioned and you waited for your break. And then with all the internet stuff, I really perked up because I was like, oh, wow. You know, you don't go and you be discovered. You discover yourself
mm-hmm.
and get yourself out there, and it opened up this whole world to me. I remember I was one of five people at the first Tube Filter meeting. And now you go to the meetings and there's like 400 people and all these filmmakers.
Wow.
So that was the first thing that I had about flexibility. I had to realize that the thing that I thought I could have continued to keep going that way. And I realized, you know, I can go the back door. I can go this other direction. And then, of course, with every project, you always get thrown curveballs. Like I was all ready to shoot at this one place and because we were on a limited budget. And when I got there to sign the contract, they were setting up for Grey's Anatomy, which had happened in the week before. And I said, oh, you're shooting mm-hmm. something now. He said, oh, yeah, this is our very first shoot. Well, needless to say, they knew that they could get some more money. So that didn't. So I had to be creative and think of something else. But I think the most important thing to do is know that if you have your vision, that things will eventually come together magically. Like look what happened with Robin. I said, I need a blonde-haired Jesus. Oh, well, look at it. I have this right now. So, you know, you have to pay attention to those. Jack Calvert calls them signposts, that they're signposts. And it's like, oh, okay, that means we're on the right track, you know?
I think signposts are really important. And I think that, Jackie, you have some great things that you're working on this year, and I can't wait to see all of them. I don't know when you sleep. But I can tell you that I think that you are just bringing so many gifts here to the world, and I hope everybody takes a chance to go visit you on YouTube and also check it. You know, it's also, you can go to Jackie's website and you'll get all the links and all that other stuff as well. But go interact with her on social media. She is a hoot, people, and I think it will be something that will behoove you very, very humorously in your lives. Real quick reminder to everybody, tomorrow night, Zoe Niklaus and Doug Johnston. Doug is a psychic astrologist. I have no idea what that means, but we're going to find out tomorrow in a very special 90-minute episode of Rated G Radio. Thursday, again, is Rated LGBT Radio with my co-host Rob Watson. And then Friday, Sherry Payne of the Supremes. I mean, it's going to be the Supremes. She's here with Rick Giannatos, her producer. We're going to be talking about her new play, A Lady in Waiting, and so much more. Everybody else, have a great evening. Thank you for being part of the Rated G Radio experience. Take a listener survey. Go buy the album. Go support Jackie Bo wherever you see her projects. And we'll see you live on Wednesday night. Don't drive distracted.
Bye.
been listening to
Rated G Radio.